Amen. Well, if you would turn open to Galatians chapter 5, we'll be studying verses 13 through 15. If you need a Bible, you can raise your hand and one will be brought to you. For starters, I'd just like to tell the men here, Happy Father's Day. Also, if you can chip in on a gift for Dave Napier, it'll help him to feel better about not getting anything. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 15, we see an interesting dynamic in the writing of Paul as he is switching from his argument about grace, about being saved by grace, about having a relationship with Jesus Christ by grace, about growing as a result of grace. He switches and begins to talk about responsibilities. Hands up, who likes responsibility? Yeah, we love responsibility, don't we? Well, this one man and his friend, they weren't the brightest bulbs in the pack. They were going to start this building project. And they got in their pickup truck and they drove to a lumber yard, and one of the men walked into the office and said, "We's need some 4x2s. Well, the clerk said, "Do you mean 2x4s? Isn't that what you're asking for, 2x4s? The man said, "Let me go check," and went back out to the truck. He returned in a minute and said, "Yeah, I meant 2x4s. "All right, how long do you need them?" Well, the customer paused for a minute and looked a little confused. "I better go check on that." And after a while, the customer returned to the office and said, "We's going to need them a long time. We're building a house." I think he was asking about what length did he need the 2x4 rather than the length of time that he was going to need to use them. Well, in a way, we can be much like this guy when it comes to building up the church. You see, our job is to build the house of God. And I'm not talking about this building. And I know a lot of us put a lot of work into this building to bring it up to the standard that it is right now. And that's a great thing. And we'll leave this building and go to another building where we will, once again, do build out and, you know, lay carpet and paint walls. And then we'll outgrow that building and we'll move on to another building. But these buildings that we'll travel to and from as this church grows is not the church. The church, well, this is not a building, but it's a group of people. That's what the church is. The church is every believer that you see congregated here this morning. The church is every believer that you'll meet when you leave here and go out into the world, regardless of where they are. Well, if we're perfectly honest, many of us don't know the first thing about building up the church. We don't even understand what that means. What does it mean to build up the church? The church, well, that's these people. How do I build up people? Others of us are moving ahead, attempting to build up the people around us, and well, we might not really grasp what the Bible says about building up the people around us. And there is a warning written from Paul. 1 Corinthians 3:9 and 10 says this, "You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it." So grasp that for a moment, that as we come to church, as you come here Sunday mornings, as you come here Wednesday evenings, as you meet one another in homes, in home fellowships, in small groups, as you run into each other out on the streets and talk to each other at coffee shops, that these are moments to build up the church. But we need to take heed how we build, according to Paul, the wise master builder. So how should we build up the church? Well, we must first establish that we are building upon a foundation of grace. And that's exactly what Paul has been preaching to the Galatians this whole time. You're building on the wrong foundation. You're building on works. You're building on law. You're building on legalism. That's not the right foundation. The right foundation is a foundation of grace. And we've seen Paul lay this solid foundation of grace in this letter to the Galatians. The foundation is Jesus, which includes salvation that we have by grace and the faith that we place in his finished work upon the cross. That salvation coming as a result of trusting in Christ's finished work. This foundation of grace also includes this need to stand fast in the liberty. Standing fast in liberty is what we've talked about recently, as we must continue by faith in Jesus Christ and not return again to a yoke of bondage, which is the law. So this foundation is when we stand fast in the grace by which Christ has set us free. Paul has challenged then the Galatian believers and us to leave behind the rituals, to leave behind the religion, and to return once again to the relationship that they had with Jesus Christ. And this can be hard. This can be hard to do when maybe we've spent so many years of our Christian life building upon a foundation of legalism. How do you all of a sudden say, oh man, most of my Christian life, well, it's been for naught. I've only been living a life of legalism, building on the wrong foundation. And now I have to tear all that down, scrap it, and return back to the right foundation, a foundation of grace, and begin to rebuild. That might be where many of us are this morning. As we've studied through the book of Galatians so far, we may have discovered that I've been building with the wrong tools on the wrong foundation, and it's rubble. A foundation of works is just not right. If you build upon a foundation of works, if you build upon a foundation of legalism, you're building your house on the shifting sands on a beach that the tide's constantly coming in and washing out the foundation from underneath you. You're constantly being introduced to new laws, new rules, and rituals that you must keep and maintain. It'll never stand. So in order to build up the church, we must build upon the right foundation. Building upon the right foundation will enable us to build a strong building, a strong building which you and I are. And therefore the church becomes stronger the more we build on top of a foundation of grace. And if we're going to build up the church, then we must follow the master plan. We must follow the master's plan. And in our text, we'll see three key factors that we must accomplish if we're going to build up the church. Upon a foundation of grace, we're encouraged to build up the church by, number one, loving one another. We'll find that in verses 13 and 14. Number two, serving one another. We'll find that in verse 13. And then in verse 15, we'll see that we're supposed to spare one another. Well, in Galatians 5:13, jumping right into our text, it says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." All of the law is fulfilled in one word. Then he goes on to give a statement. But that one word is love. All of the law is fulfilled in love. And so Paul is writing here that you have been called. You have been called. Or in other words, you've been invited. An invitation went out from God to you. Don't you hate it when you find out that there was a party that a lot of your friends went to, but you never received an invitation? You weren't invited. Doesn't that bum you out sometimes? Trust me, God has invited you to the biggest party of all time. Jesus said this, "If I am lifted up, I will draw all men to myself." He was lifted up. Therefore, all men are being drawn to Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we have been called, we have been invited, and we've been invited to liberty. You see, it's a freedom fest that we've been invited to. It's a party of freedom. The party is centered around being free from the law which condemns us. But then Paul says, don't use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. You've been invited to this freedom party, this freedom fest. You've been invited, you've been called to come and enjoy and experience the freedom that we have in Christ, but don't use this liberty, this freedom, as an opportunity for the flesh. You see, Paul has spent much time stressing the importance of the believer to stand fast in this freedom, to stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And now he qualifies exactly what he means when he talks about this freedom. You see, the minute you begin to stress freedom, the minute you begin to stress grace, and a grace-based relationship with Jesus Christ, the legalists will always ask the same questions. They're going to say, so what? You can do whatever you want and still go to heaven? As you're witnessing to members of the LDS faith, they'll typically ask the same question. So I guess you can just go kill someone and still go to heaven. I like to freak them out and go, you bet. And then just look at them real mean. You can live however you like and not go to hell. Well, on the one hand, if salvation is based on grace and not works, then, well, if I have received grace, what could possibly keep me from going to heaven? If salvation is based on grace and not works, and if I've received that grace, what work will keep me from heaven? How hard is that to grasp? On the other hand, true liberty is the ability to live as we should live and not how we please. You see the difference? If salvation is based on grace, then there is no work that I can commit. There's nothing wrong that I can do to keep me out of heaven because salvation was never based on what I could or could not do. It's based on what Christ did, what he accomplished on the cross. But then because we're saved and brought into freedom, that freedom brings responsibility into our lives that we should live how we should live, not how we please. You see, Paul tells us not to use liberty as an occasion. And this word occasion, it speaks of a base of operation from which an attack is made. So you have this base of operation. You have this foundation from where you're attacking from. And in this case, and what we're talking about, you're using the foundation of grace as a place to attack the church rather than to build up the church. If you're going to use your freedom in Christ to live any way you please, then you're using this foundation of grace to attack the people around you. Because there are going to be times that what you please to do isn't what Christ would do. And therefore, you begin to attack the people around you, whether you know it or not. No, we're to use grace to build up the church through love, not attack it. We have been given a foundation of grace so that we can build up one another. This is why Paul encourages us to build up the church by loving one another. You see, Paul writes to the Galatians to use liberty to love. We're not given liberty, we're not given freedom to do as we please. We're given the freedom so that we're free to love. Galatians 5:14 says, "For all of the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." He's already assuming that loving God with all of our hearts being taken care of because we've entered into this relationship from grace. And so as... If that's for me, just let them know I'm busy. We've learned about love. We learned about love a few weeks ago. This is that agape love. It's that love that can only come from Jesus Christ. We can only give this love out if we've received this love, okay? And so we must come and become rich in God's love, and therefore we can offer God's love. And if we become rich in God's love, and then we start to share God's love with our neighbor, with the people around us, we begin to use that base of grace to act in the ways that God wants us to act, and that is by loving one another. You see, liberty is not a license. And many of us act like liberty is this license for us to just do whatever we please. Well, I can do this, and you know, God's going to forgive me. And it is true that God has already forgiven you if you are a Christian. And if you go out and murder someone next week, that's not acting from love. Will God forgive it? Well, God is a forgiver of sins. I'm not encouraging you guys to go do acts of sin. But that's the teaching of grace. Grace says that, hey, there's nothing that I can do to keep me out of heaven if I've received the grace of Jesus Christ. But if I've truly received the grace of Jesus Christ, will I want to go out and murder somebody? Or has my heart been changed, and am I living the kind of life where all I want to do is go out and love the people around me? You see, the evidence that I've really received this grace is in the fact that I want to love. And so could I go out and murder somebody and still be accepted into heaven? Yes, of course. Because salvation isn't based on what I can or can't do. However, if you've really begun to build on a foundation of grace, you would never want to go out and murder someone. You would only want to go out and love someone. This is the struggle between our flesh and our spirit. And we'll talk more next week about walking in the Spirit so that we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Talking more about our responsibility as the weeks come by. Liberty, though, is not a license. It's not a license to do as you please. And while it's true that there's no work that can keep us out of heaven, there's no bad work that's going to keep us out of heaven, for the believer, liberty, freedom, is the ability to always do the right thing. In other words, help me grasp this. Please listen to what I'm saying for 1 second. If you've truly received the grace of God and you're continuing to receive the grace of God on a daily basis, you have the power to never sin again. Isn't that awesome? The liberty that you've been given is the liberty to always walk in love. The liberty that I've been given is the freedom to always choose love over any other decision. Will we? Well, chances are we won't. But can we? Yes, every day. We have the power, we have the freedom to always choose love over anything else. And so liberty, the liberty that we're called to walk in, is the liberty to love, and therefore we are called to love one another. Liberty is freedom from the law. We're no longer bound by law. But liberty is also the same freedom that enables us to love. And if we will use liberty to build up the church, what would that look like? Well, liberty is demonstrated through loving one another. Love is demonstrated through serving one another. See, you're only going to serve either the one who owns you or the one who loves you. And you know what? You're not the boss of me. You don't own me. I can do whatever I want. And so, you're not my master, so why should I serve you? Therefore, if I do serve you, it must mean that I love you. You don't own me. So if I serve you, I must love you. Love serves one another, and that's our second point. Through love, serve one another. That's what Paul writes in 5:13. Galatians 5:13, in the third part of the verse, it says, through love, serve one another. So Paul calls us to love one another. And as we love one another, we are to serve one another. Through love, serve one another. Because you have been given the freedom to love one another, use that liberty to serve one another. This word serve means to yield to one another, to be the slave of one another, to submit to one another. We're to yield to one another, we're to be the slave of one another. We're to submit ourselves to one another. How many of us came to church this morning ready to be the slave of one another? How many of us woke up this morning going, you know, I feel I'm just going to go be a slave of the people at Calvary South Austin this morning? I'm going to show up early this morning and just see what I can do to serve the people up there. I'm going to wake up early, show up early. I'm going to get down there just in time so that, you know, I'm just going to see, hey, is there anybody that really just needs anything? How can I serve? Paul points out that it's through love that we'll carry that attitude. It's through love. It's through being selfless. It's through being others before us. Others-centered, that we will love one another. And there are those who serve for the wrong reason. Believe me, that you can serve people with the wrong reasons. You can serve to be seen. Look at me. Look what I do. La, 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 here I go. I'm serving. I'm Joe Christian. And you walk around like this the whole time. Why? Because you're waiting for the bat packs. You're waiting for people to come up and pat your back. Look what I did. Do you see that? Can you pat my back? Others serve to gain God's favor. Well, if I don't do this, then God's mad at me. And if I do this, then God will be happy with me. And so I'll serve to gain God's favor. No, those are just works of law. You're just returning yourself to a yoke of bondage. There are those who serve to gain the favor or get next to other people that they want to get next to. And so they use service as a platform to chum up with someone they want to become friends with. Or even marry. I'll just go serve in this ministry because I like that guy. Because she's a cutie. And so I'll serve just to get close to him. There are those who serve to climb the leadership ladder. I just want to make some decisions up here at this church. And I want to make sure things go my way. And so the higher I can get on the leadership level, the more my voice will direct this church. The guys who help me to lead by praying for this church and make decisions, they'll tell you that I'm no pushover. I'm praying for God's will to be done here. And I'm not going to let anybody climb some ladder to finally get to some position where their voice will be louder than God's in my life. Paul warns us concerning those that serve, but they don't serve from love, but they serve to gain some position or some possession. 1 Corinthians 13, he says this, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I've become a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing." I don't care what kind of stuff you do. If you're not doing it from love, then all that you're doing is nothing. It's a bunch of sound and fury and resulting in nothing. Serving from the right heart is when we serve from love, when we love one another. We build up the church when we love, because when we love one another, we serve one another. When we love one another, we will use our liberty to serve one another. We will say, you know, Sally Christian over there has served in the children's ministry so long, and she needs a break. I'm going to sign up for children's ministry so I can just kind of give her a break. I'm going to love her enough to go in there and let her off, you know, from babysitting my kid every week. I'll sign up and serve in children's ministry because I love her enough to allow her to come in here every once in a while. When we love one another, we'll use our liberty to serve one another in the maintenance ministry. You know, I've got a real gift for cleaning things up. I'm a neat freak. I'm going to go apply that to the church so that when people show up, they're not put out by cobwebs and dirt on the floor. I'm going to love them enough to come and make the building that they show up to nice and neat. When we love one another, we will use our liberty to serve one another in the media ministry. I want to assist people in worshiping God because I love them, so I'm going to make sure that those words get put up on the walls as we worship. When we love one another, we will use our liberty to serve one another with our gifts, with our resources, with our time, with our energy. We will say, because God put a love in my heart for the people around me, I am going to do what I can to serve the people around me. That's what it means to love one another, is that we serve one another. We're going to put God first, and we're going to put others second. And from that foundation of grace, we're going to love one another, and that love can come only come be seen, can be shown through our actions, the actions of serving one another. So before, if you were building on this foundation of legalism, you know, and here comes, you know, Sunday morning, and, you know, I guess I'll wake up now. You got 5 minutes to get to church, and let me get the kids out of bed. And, you know, and so you struggle, and you're getting breakfast ready, and you're, you know, rushing because you're going to be late. You know, you're going to show up for the third song. And so it's, you're driving like a maniac, and your wife tells you to slow down. And you say, shut up, I'm trying to do it. I'm trying to get to church so we can worship. What is that? You're not loving anybody. You're not showing up to love on people. Stay home and listen to the MP3. Why not wake up early and say, you know, I love my kids. I love my spouse. I'm going to cook them breakfast. I'm going to shower them with praises, and we're going to sing together this morning, and we're going to wake up with enough time to love on one another. And then we're going to jump in the car, and we're going to take our time, and we're going to share thoughts and opinions, and we're going to get to church, and we're going to be so stoked, and the kids aren't going to cry when we check them in, and we're going to go, and you can't control that. And then you come in, and you look around and you say, how can I serve these people? Wouldn't that be a better way to spend your Sunday? Wouldn't that be a better way to spend your Wednesdays? Wouldn't that be a better way to spend your life? Instead of grumbling and, why can't people get out of my way? Instead of we just love one another? And therefore we serve one another. We become each other's slave. Well, when we serve one another from love, we end up building up the church. And if we're serving one another, then we will spare one another. What do I mean by that? Well, you see, you're either going to, from love, serve one another, or from selfishness, serve one another. What does that mean? Basically, just almost said the same thing, didn't I? You're either going to serve each other from love, or you're going to serve each other for dinner. You're going to cook each other. You're going to devour one another. You're going to destroy one another. Look at what Paul writes. Galatians 5:15 says, but if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. If you bite one another, this word literally means to sink your teeth into one another, but it also could mean, metaphorically, to wound the soul of one another. If you wound each other's soul, if you devour one another, what does this word devour mean? It speaks of eating something up, gobbling it up, you know, kind of like at Thanksgiving when you're just like, you know, you're not even breathing anymore. You're inhaling food. And that's what it means to devour. But it also metaphorically means to forcibly take another's goods or to destroy someone. It says, beware lest you consume one another. This word consume means to use up, to expend. It conveys the idea of using people up over and over and over and over. I don't have to serve in children's ministry because they do it every week, every week, every week, every week. And you just take advantage of them and use them over and over and over. Well, I don't have to come and help clean the church because we have a maintenance ministry that does that, and they do it all the time, all the time, all the time. And I just sit and soak it up. I just come and just bask in God's glory. I'm just here to worship. How do you worship God if you're not loving your neighbor? How do you worship God when all you're really doing is just using the people around you over and over and over again? It's a contradiction in terms. Just like the guy driving around there going, you just can't do, shut up, we're trying to worship God here, you know. You're not trying to worship God. You're just trying to make an appearance. I went to church. And when you show up and you're not willing to love each other and therefore you're not willing to serve one another, all you're doing is consuming one another. The people around you, well, they're expendable. Paul says, beware of this. Beware of this. Paul is directing the Galatian Christians to examine their actions. And it's obvious that their legalism had turned them against one another. They weren't building one another up. They weren't using freedom to love on one another. No, they slipped right back into legalism and they began to consume one another. They began to bite and devour one another. Love in this church was gone. We should also beware of this. You see, it would appear that the Galatian believers, they were using one another. Not only that, they were robbing one another and they were destroying one another. Let us beware lest we become just like the Galatians. If we begin to bite and devour and consume one another, then this church is going to be just full of friction. Church of friction. And then friction leads to factions, and from factions we have a fractured fellowship. You guys understand that? That if we come up here with the attitude of just biting and devouring one another and consuming one another, that this church is going to be full of friction and then factions and then fractured fellowships. And then just little cliques all in the church. That, and then everybody's just, you know, did you hear what them is? And look at them, and they're just like this, and they don't do that. Paul had a huge heart to come in and just deal with this, though, and encourage them. Beware of all this friction. You see, it all starts off with a little legalism, doesn't it? Just a little circumcision. Just a little making an essential out of a non-essential. Taking this non-essential that might be good, but making it an essential. It all starts off with just a little legalism. We start noting. We get the list out and we start looking around. Oh, well, here's my list of the do's and the don'ts. And why doesn't Johnny evangelize? Let me write that down. Johnny doesn't evangelize. Janie, you know, she's not really attending women's ministry. Janie doesn't attend women's ministry. Okay. I'm going to get with everybody who evangelizes and start talking about how Johnny doesn't. And I'm going to get with everybody that goes to women's ministry and start talking about how Janie doesn't. And then why Janie and Johnny, they must not be very good Christians. And not only Janie and Johnny, but you got this list. Then it becomes a faction. You've got your group that, well, we all go to women's ministry. Why don't they? What's wrong with them? Sin snivers. The legalistic believer begins to make sure that everyone is on their side. Everyone that does these things, let's all get together and let's gossip about those who don't. Let's make sure that we know who is a good Christian and who isn't a good Christian. They want to make sure that everyone knows that Johnny and Janie are second-class Christians. They're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. God forbid they go talk to Janie and find out, well, she just has to work on that night. And she can't get off. God forbid that they go find out that Johnny, well, he doesn't have a tongue and he can't talk. How do you evangelize without a tongue? That's just hard. It could happen. What? But these people, they form a splinter group, and within this splinter group, here's what they've done. They've given up worship for their legalism. They've probably stopped their devotion time. And here's what their devotion time becomes. It becomes this time of studying the scriptures to find out all the verses that they can find to prove that Janie and Johnny are bad Christians. This is their devotion time. Well, here's another verse that shows that they ought to be at women's ministry and evangelizing. And so I'll bring these verses to my group and we'll be able to talk more about them because look at all these verses that I found. That's not studying the Bible to love God. That's studying the Bible to use it as a weapon to hate the people around you. I don't think God's going to bless that. All they do is discuss how wrong these people are and this group, the splinter group, they just begin to bite and devour and consume the people that don't fit into their faction. And then that faction, well, when you begin talking about other believers in regards to non-essentials, when you start judging the Christians around you according to these non-essentials, ask this question. Before you talk to anybody about anything, just ask, am I seeking to love that person right now? By talking about this with somebody else, am I seeking to love them? Please take that note down. Write it in your Bible. Write it on your heart. That before you talk about a Christian to another Christian, ask yourself, am I seeking to love this person right now? Am I seeking to build that person up? Or am I seeking to bite them and devour them and consume them? Are you seeking to serve them? Are you seeking to spare them? Or are you seeking to expose them? A lot of the times when we talk about another Christian that doesn't do this or that, or does do this or that, we're only seeking to expose them, and then we can look a little more holy. We can look a little better when we show the people around us are a little worse, right? We really haven't elevated ourselves up through holy living. We've just raised ourselves up by showing how low everybody else is around us. We seek to expose them. You want to make sure that everyone knows that those people do those things and you don't, and therefore you're a little better. I don't think so. I think you're a lot worse when you do that. And I'm a lot worse when I do that. It only really shows how low I really am. When I choose to tear down the church rather than build up the church. You see, once they're exposed, think about it like this. Predators, they want to flush out the victim, expose the victim, get them out in the open, and then all the predators can just pounce and bite and rip and devour. I saw it on PBS. But isn't that what we do? When we seek to expose other people, we want to flush them out into the open, and then our little faction can pounce and devour and consume this individual rather than build them up. You're tearing down the church. You're not building up the church. A fractured fellowship is what follows. Too many times, Satan uses believers in the church to divide and to destroy the church based on non-essentials. Based on distinctives. Based on, hey, this is this gray area, and I'm going to have an opinion about it, and we should, but I'm going to make sure everybody else has the same opinion about it. And those who don't, we're going to divide and conquer. We're going to destroy, we're going to bite, we're going to devour, we're going to consume the people around us that don't agree with us. That's not the way we should be. You see, serving leads to sparing. Serving one another leads to sparing one another. The Bible says that love covers a multitude of sins. If you think Janie or Johnny are doing some sort of sin, we'll get into, towards the end of Galatians, where it talks about how, You know, you who are spiritual, go to that person. You who are walking in the Spirit are the one who can actually go and help try to restore this person. But the Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. Is that what you're wanting to do when you expose people? You're wanting to cover a multitude of sins? I don't think so. If you're from love serving one another, then you're going to spare one another the shame, the guilt. You're going to pray for that person. If you're close enough, you might even go and, you know, provide a little accountability for that person. But we're to use liberty to love one another. And from love, we're to serve one another. And from serving one another, we end up sparing one another rather than serving them for dinner. Well, what if we were this kind of church? What if every church, and I'm talking about the church as a Catholic entity or as a universal church, I'm not talking about the Roman Catholic Church, but the word Catholic means universal church. What if in a universal way, every church acted like this? Every church, from love, served one another. And while they were serving one another, they were sparing one another. What if every church on the planet acted like that? And if a lost person walked in, what would they see? What would they see? I'll tell you this. They would see Jesus. They would see Jesus. I remember when I was lost, I went to a church, invited by a lady that I worked with. I respected her. I thought she was a really decent lady. She invited me to her church, and I went. Long black hair, and I had like a Slayer t-shirt on or something. And I was lost, and I walked into this church, and not one person greeted me. Not one person turned around during that, you know, greeting time where you're all, hey, what's going on? You're greeting the people around you, right? Not one person turned around and looked at me and said, I'm so glad that you're here. They looked beyond me. They looked around me to greet someone else. And I just thought, this is what I thought. This is what they, in the world, this is what they say the church acts like. And I showed up just to check it out, and this is what they act like. And I didn't step back into a church for years and years and years. Because they acted just like the world says they acted. Thankfully, God sent another messenger to me. Invited me to Calvary North Austin, where I walked in the door looking pretty much the same. Glendon Nix over there stuck his hand in mine and said, I'm so glad you're here. And loved me, regardless that I looked so crazy and whatever. If the church were to act like this, if the church were to say, from my freedom, I am going to choose to love the people around me. And from that love, I'm going to serve them. And while I'm serving them, I'm not exposing them, I'm sparing them. I'm not biting and devouring them, I'm sparing them. If this was the way the church acted, I think we would see a lot more people coming out of the world and into the body of Christ. They flocked around Jesus, didn't they? They were drawn to Jesus. Why? Because from freedom he loved. And as he loved, he served. And the people that they brought to him and said, this person's a sinner. After a little talk, he said, where are your condemners? They'd all fleed. He says, I don't condemn you either. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save the world. So why do we, the church, the representation of Jesus Christ, spend so much time condemning one another? Guys, I hope we can really grasp this. We're all guilty of this. We're all guilty of biting and devouring one another. I'm guilty, you're guilty. But today, can we change? Today, can we say, from freedom, I'm going to love. And as I love, I'm going to serve. And as I serve, I'm going to spare. And I'm going to represent Christ. I'm going to represent Jesus. And as I represent Jesus, People are going to see Jesus in me, and they're going to want to know. How can you look at Jesus and not want to know him? And so if people look at us and they don't want to know Jesus, aren't we showing them a wrong Jesus? I hope that challenges you as much as it challenges me. What the world would see if we acted like this is the love of Jesus Christ. Jesus wants to shower his love on this world. He wants to shower his love starting with Calvary South Austin today. Will we let him? Will we let him do that? Will you lay down your legalism? Will I lay down my legalism? Will we lay down our license to sin and do as we please so that we can, from liberty, love and serve and spare one another? God help us. Let's pray.